Lord Krishna and Balaram meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. Once upon a time, while Lord Krishna and Balaram were living peacefully in their great city of Dwarka, there was the rare occasion of the full solar eclipse, such as takes place at the end of every Kalpa or day of Brahma. So by astronomical calculation, people were informed about this great eclipse prior to its taking place, and therefore everyone, men, women, decided to assemble at the holy place of Kurukshetra, known as Sumanta Panchak. So we're reading from Krishna book by ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Abhay Charanadaman Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 82, Lord Krishna and Balaram meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and we will select some portions from this chapter and read, and also we will discuss some of the significance of this chapter. So, Samanta Panchak was the place at Kurukshetra, and it was called that because Lord Parashuram, after killing all the Kshatriyas, he went to that place, and all of the blood of the Kshatriyas was placed in these five pukurs. So it's therefore called Samanta Panchak. So after doing that, he atoned for his killing of all the Kshatriyas at that place. So it's a holy place for that reason. By his example, Lord Parashuram established that the killing art, although sometimes necessary, is not good. Taking advantage of the occasion of the solar eclipse, all the important persons from all parts of Bharatvarsha visited the holy place of pilgrimage. Some of the people who were there were, they're mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Akura, Vasudeva, Ugrasen, Krishna's father and grandfather. They were the senior generation, Akura, Vasudeva, Ugrasen. The junior generation, Gada, Pradumna, Samba, they're all Krishna's sons. And many other members of the Yadu dynasty who had come there with a view to atone for sinful activities accrued in the course of discharging their respective duties. We'll discuss a little more about that shortly. So all of the members of the Yadu dynasty almost went to Kurukshetra, and therefore some important personalities, Aniruddha, Pradumna, Kritavarma, and a few others, they remained in Dwarka to protect the city. After arriving in Kurukshetra, the members of the Yadu dynasty took their baths ceremoniously with self-control as enjoined in the Shastras, and they observed fasting for the whole period of the eclipse in order to nullify the reactions of their sinful activities. Since it's a Vedic custom to give in charity as much as possible during the hours of the eclipse, the members of the Yadu dynasty distributed many hundreds of cows in charity to the Brahmins. Sometimes we observe the eclipse here in Mayapur, and at that time usually the temple remains closed, and at that time all the devotees engage in Nam Sankirtan. So that is the highest charity, distribution of the holy name and worship of the Lord through Sankirtan. So there's no better activity to perform during the solar eclipse apart from Nam Sankirtan. So here the Yadavas, they were giving charity at the time of the solar eclipse, and they gave many hundreds of cows in charity to the Brahmins, because the Yadavas were Kshatriyas. So they're giving in charity to the Brahmins. In Dwarka, Krishna was a Kshatriya, Krishna and Balaram. A prince, Dwarkadish. He's the lord of Dwarka, a Kshatriya. So they're giving in charity to the Brahmins. All the cows that they gave were fully decorated with nice dress and ornaments. The special feature of these cows was that they had golden ankle bells. And they gave hundreds of such cows in charity. Just see the opulence of Krishna in Dwarka and the Yadavas. And the cows had flower garlands on their necks. So, some significant aspects of this Leela are that actually Prabhupada comments that the Yadavas were performing these duties to nullify their sinful activities. So on one hand we can look at it from that angle. On another hand, actually all of their activities are considered to be Leela, because they're all there simply for the service of Krishna. And all of the demigods and associates of the Lord took birth in the Yadu dynasty simply to enrich the pastimes of Krishna, to give enjoyment to Krishna. Because as Krishna is performing his leelas, it's not so much fun if he's the only one there. Where's the enjoyment? Similarly, Arjuna was saying, if I kill all of the Kurus on the battlefield, King Bogai, where will be the enjoyment? No family members there to enjoy these things with. So Krishna needed a family. The Yadu dynasty was a huge, millions of members. 16,108 wives, each wife had 10 sons, each son had 10 sons. You can add that up. That's millions. So they were all there to, whether they were eternally liberated or demigods, different categories, but the point was they're all there to give pleasure to Krishna, to enhance Krishna's pastimes. So it's all Leela. So there's not really a consideration of sinful activities. It's all everything, and Prabhupada will explain a little further. However, as a Kshatriya, Krishna has no responsibility, he has no obligation to perform the duties of a Kshatriya. But in Gita, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that Name Paatastikatavam Trishi Lokeshu Kinchana. Name Paatastikatavam, there's no kartavya, there's no duty for me in all the three worlds. Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana. Nanavaptam avaptavyam, I'm not in need of anything, nor do I have desire to attain anything. Varta evicha karmani. However, I am doing karma. I am performing karma. Karma means prescribed duties as enunciated in the Vedic literature, specifically the Vanasram Dharma. That is karma, prescribed duties. Means what? According to your Vana and Ashram, there's specific duties prescribed. So that's called Swakarma, or sometimes karma, as distinct from Vikarma, which is unauthorized or unauthorized activity, any activities. But karma means prescribed activity. So Varta Evacha Karmani, Krishna is explaining, I'm doing karma. However, he has no necessity to perform such karma. Nanavaptam avaptavyam. Actually, the purpose of performing the prescribed duties is to legally satisfy one's desires and gradually purify oneself in a legal way. You have desires, so you should act like this to fulfill your desires. Like, for example, Grihastha Ashram. This is Vanasram Dharma. So if you want to enjoy sex pleasure, then you do it in this way. Enter Grihastha Ashram, and in that way you can legally enjoy that, fulfill that desire, and gradually by enjoying in the legal way, as enunciated in the Vedic literature, you gradually become purified of the material desire. However, if you enjoy it in an illicit way, in a vikarma, then you don't gradually become purified, and in fact your divergent mentality increases more and more by performing the vikarma. So therefore, every conditioned soul is required to perform prescribed duties in the Vanasram Dharma to gradually purify themselves of sinful activities. But Krishna explains that a liberated soul has no need to perform such duties because he has no desire. However, So naturally, so there Krishna's explaining. I hear Krishna's explaining to Arjuna. Nana bhaktam avaktavyam. I have no desires to fulfill. I have no need to obtain anything. Varta eva chakarmani. Still I am performing these prescribed duties. And why is that? Because Prabhupada explains in a purport that, as we know, Krishna appears for the purpose dharma sangstarpana artaya. Arta. Arta means the purpose, the goal. So what is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? One of the purposes is dharma sangstapan, to establish the principles of religion. So he does this by setting an example. And in the same section of Gita, Krishna explains, yad yad acharati shrestas, that whatever the leading personalities, the shrestha, our charity, what their behavior, whatever, however they behave, yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat evi sarojara, sayat pramanam, on the basis of that evidence, sayat pramanam, the behavior of the leading personalities, lokas tat anavartate, the people in general will act. So this is a principle. Influential leaders in the society, they have a responsibility to set an appropriate example for the people in general, because they are more influential. And by their behavior, they are setting the standards for all others to follow. And in that way, leadership is a great responsibility, because one is accountable for the behavior of one's subordinates. So if on the precept of one's own behavior, one's subordinates act in a certain way, one becomes accountable for that. Prabhupada explains, a father, a parent, a teacher, an administrator, all such persons are natural leaders in the society, and they're all accountable for the behavior of their subordinates. So Krishna is a perfect leader when he comes. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he establishes the standards for humanity by personally demonstrating them himself, even though he has no obligation to perform these activities for the purpose of purification. Now, when Narad visited Dwarka and he visited the different palaces of Krishna, then he found Krishna in each and every palace performing different activities. Now it's interesting what activities Krishna was performing. Of course, significant in this incident is that Krishna could expand himself in 16,108 forms. These are called Vaibhav Prakash, or forms of the Lord, and they're all doing different things. Vaibhav means expansion of opulence. Vaibhav. Vibhuti, expansion of the power. So the Vaibhav Prakash expands, you can expand in unlimited forms without exhausting himself. Purna Shapurna Madaya Purnam Eva Vashishite. He can expand himself in so many unlimited forms, and he doesn't become exhausted even in the minutest fraction. This is spiritual Shakti, spiritual potency. So that's one significant aspect of this leader. Another significant aspect is, if when you look at actually what were the different things Krishna was doing in his palaces. Now these are quite interesting. These are described in the Bhagavatam. In one place he was playing dice with his queen Anudava, which is a religious principle for the Kshatriyas. In another place he was coddling his infant children. Coddling? Kind of cuddling his infant children. In another place he was preparing to take bath. Now Krishna is pavitram, parama, pavitram. He's the supreme pure. He has no need to take bath. But he's going through the process. And at that time you couldn't just go in and turn on the hot water in the shower. It's quite an elaborate arrangement required for bathing. Snan, pukur, mantra, etc. Clean cloth. Performing fire sacrifices in another palace. In another palace, Krishna was eating the remnants of food left by Brahmins, because this is the Kshatriya's duty to show respect to Brahmins. In another place, he was performing noontime rituals. In another place, quietly chanting Gayatri Mantra. So why does Krishna need to chant Gayatri Mantra? He is the source of Gayatri. He is the husband of Gayatri. Gayatri is meant for purification, bring us to Sattva-gun. He's already Vishuddha Sattva Sampurna. However, he's going through all of these activities, chanting mantras, performing puja, doing sacrifice, performing the activities to come to Sattva-gun, consulting with his ministers, like a good Kshatriya should do in another palace, playing in the water with his female companions. It's not all hard work. Vanashram Dharma, you have to have some with husband and wife, Grihastha Ashram, it's not all official. There has to be some intimate dealings. So Krishna playing with his wife, sporting in the water with his female companions, giving charity to Brahmins, meditating on the super soul. Krishna meditating on the super soul. Dhyana Jog. To show the example for all of those who are on that path. We should do that. Serving his spiritual masters like a humble disciple, Krishna is demonstrating. Arranging the marriages for his sons and daughters. Going out to hunt animals. Moving about in disguise to find out what the citizens were thinking. So this is what Narada saw when he visited all the different palaces of Krishna and Dwarka. So you see, Krishna, in all of these examples, he's diligently performing the detailed activities of the Varnasram Dharma. This is the mood. The Varnasram Dharma means duty. Duty, duty. It's not that Krishna was just making the show just to do a performance for Narad. No, this is the daily activity. Niyamita Bhave. This is the Nitya Karma, every day. This is duty. This is Varnasram Dharma. We do this because it's our obligation to get purified. This is how Varnasram Dharma works. And in this way we mold our lifestyle in such a way that it becomes the progressive path of liberation rather than degradation. This is how Varnasram Dharma works. You live your life according to all of these prescribed duties. And in that way you enjoy life and you get purified. So the Yadus similarly were all going to Kurukshetra to perform this purificatory function of observing the solar eclipse, giving charity to the Brahmins, etc. And Krishna also was performing these purificatory activities to set an example. And there was another reason why Krishna was going to Kurukshetra, which we'll soon hear about. Prabhupada's commenting, the ritualistic ceremonies performed by the members of the Yadu dynasty externally resembled the ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Karmis. When a Karmi performs a ritualistic ceremony, his ambition is sense gratification. Good position, good wife, good house, good children, good wealth. Actually, Varnasram Dharma without Krishna consciousness is karma kanda. It's a karmi. But the ambition of the members of the Yadu dynasty was different. Their ambition was to offer Krishna perpetual devotion with faith. All the members of the Yadu dynasty were great devotees. As such, after many births of accumulated pious activities, they were given the chance to associate with Lord Krishna. Accumulated pious activities, we could explore that in more detail. That also may be referring to sadhana practice in order to get the association of Krishna. Sadhana practice. Bhaktunmukhi Sukriti. Pious activities, different kinds. Bhaktunmukhi Sukriti. In going to take their baths in the place of pilgrimage, Kurukshetra, and observing the regulative principles during the solar eclipse, or in feeding the Brahmins, all their activities, during all of their activities, they simply thought of devotion to Krishna. Their ideal worshipable Lord was Krishna and no one else. So Krishna, this is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. to Arjuna, Krishna is explaining. Tasmat sāve shukāleshu mamanuśmara yudhya cha. You should be engaged in your respective occupation in the Varnasram system. That's called yudhya, or being engaged. In Arjuna's case, it was to fight. And at the same time, sāve shukāleshu, all the time, mamanuśmara, remember me. This is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for the common man. You perform jat karoshi, whatever it is that you are doing, yad ashnashi, whatever you're eating, yad jahoshi, didashuva, whatever you're giving away, whatever you're receiving, tat kurushva mad arpanam. You should do that in consciousness of me, you should do that as an offering to me. Tat kurushva mad arpanam. That activity you should do to serve me. This is called karma yoga, or devi varnasram dharma. We do all of these activities, which we have to do in this world, because we are conditioned, and we're forced to act in that way. So tat kurushva, let's act in that way, mad arpanam, to please Krishna. How do we do that? By following the system of the chaturvana maya system that he has established. So this is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada is reflecting here, and Krishna is personally demonstrating for the general mass of people. Liberated soul, for them, can be a little different. But in general, people are recommended to act, to live their lives in this way. Perform their varnasram prescribed duties. Do that in a mood of serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So after the Brahmins were fed, the Yadus, they were hosting the Brahmins, they also took prasadam, as is the custom. And then they began to rest. They selected resting places underneath big shady trees. And when they had taken sufficient rest, they prepared to receive visitors. Relatives, friends, subordinates, kings and rulers, etc. But above all, the visitors from Vrindavan were most prominent. All the devotees from Vrindavan had come because they saw that this is an opportunity now for us to again see Krishna and Balaram, who we haven't seen for so many years. So hearing that they were going to Kurukshetra, the residents in Vrindavan in great numbers also came, and they were the most prominent visitors. The residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, had been living in great anxiety because of separation from Krishna and Balaram. Taking advantage of the solar eclipse, they all came to see their life and soul, Krishna and Balaram. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were well-wishers and intimate friends of the Yadu dynasty. This meeting of the two parties after long separation was a very touching incident. And Prabhupada goes on now to, and Bhagavatam goes on to describe in more detail this touching incident. Meeting after long separation, they were all jubilant. Their hearts throbbed and their faces appeared like freshly bloomed lotus flowers. Drops of tears fell from their eyes. The hair on their bodies stood on end. And because of their extreme ecstasy, they were temporarily speechless. In other words, they dove into the ocean of happiness. Now this is the mood of Vrindavan. And this is the mood of our Sampradaya, as is exemplified by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. How does that go? Gopi Bhava Rashamri Dadvi Lahalil Kalolara Magnur Muhur. They dived repeatedly into the ocean of the waves of the ecstatic love of Radha and Krishna. Gopi Bhava, Rasamritadbi Lahari, Rasamritadbi, the nectar of the ocean of the Gopi Bhava, the mood of the residents of Vrindavan and their love for Krishna. Gopi Bhava, Rasamritadbi, the ocean of Rasa, which is the love of the gopis of Vrindavan, Kalola, which is full of waves, Magnod Muhur, Magno means to enter, to dive into, Muhur, again and again, Magnod Muhur. Gopi Bhava Rasham Ritadbi Lahalir Kalolara Magnon Mahur Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo Shijiva Gopalako. So those who are following the six Gosamis of Vrindavan, this is the mood that we are following and cultivating in our sadhana practice, because we are practicing the sadhana which has been established by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the sadhana bhakti. And by practicing these activities which Srila Rupa Goswami has selected and recommended, we awaken the mood, we awaken these feelings. And one of the important methods of developing and cultivating this mood is hearing, which is why Srimad Bhagavatam is so dear to the Vaishnavas, because it's full of the bhakti ras and descriptions of the relationships and the ras. Pibhatam Bhagavatam rasam. Bhagavatam is full of rasa. And pibhatam, it should be heard. And by hearing about the bhakti ras in Bhagavatam, we awaken, we cultivate these emotions, which are Krishna Prem, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Saddha Kabunaya. They're already in the heart. They're inherent in the jiva. Sravanade Shuddha Chitte Kuraya Udoy. And by the process of hearing, Shuddha Chitte, the heart becomes pure, Kuraya Udoy. And the feelings, they awaken, they udoy, they arise, they rise, they awaken like the sunrise, udoy. So that's hearing, that's why we're hearing this today. When the visitors in Vrindavan saw Lord Krishna with his thousands of queens, they were fully satisfied at the sight of such beauty and transcendental opulence. All who were there personally visited Lord Balaram and Krishna, and being properly welcomed by them, they began to glorify the members of the Yadu dynasty, especially Krishna and Balaram. When Nanda Maharaj and other residents of Vrindavan heard that Krishna would be present at Kurukshetra because of the solar eclipse, and that all the members of the Yadu dynasty would also be there, they had immediately prepared to go there. King Nanda, accompanied by his cowherd men, loaded all their necessary paraphernalia on bullock carts, and all the Vrindavan residents had come to Kurukshetra to see their beloved sons, Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. When the cowherd men of Vrindavan arrived at Kurukshetra, all the members of the Yadu dynasty were most pleased. As soon as they saw the residents of Vrindavan, they stood up to welcome them and appeared to have regained their life. All the Yadus and Vrindavan residents had been very eager to meet. And when they actually came forward and met, they embraced one another to their heart's satisfaction and remained in an embrace for a considerable time. As soon as Vasudev saw Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev jumped up and ran over to him and embraced him very affectionately. Vasudev began to narrate his own past history, how he had been imprisoned by Kamsa, how his babies had been killed, how immediately after Krishna's birth he had carried Krishna to the place of Nanda Maharaj, and how Krishna and Balaram had been raised by Nanda Maharaj and his queen Yasoda as their own children. Similarly, Lord Balaram and Krishna embraced King Nanda and Mother Yasoda, and then they offered their respect unto their lotus feet by bowing down. Because of their feelings of affection for Nanda and Yasoda, Krishna and Balaram became... Now, it's interesting here because the acharyas have commented that as Vasudev is speaking like this, it goes on, and Vasudev and Devaki, they go on to explain, when Krishna and Balaram were born, before they even saw their real father and mother, Vasudev and Devaki, they were entrusted to your care, and you raised them as your own children, fostering them as birds take care of offspring in the nest. You have nicely fed, nourished, and loved them, and perform many auspicious religious ceremonies for their benefit. Most noble personalities do not discriminate between their own sons and the sons of others. And there cannot be any personalities more noble than Nanda Maharaja knew. Mother Yasoda. Our acharyas have commented at this time that actually Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, they're not considering themselves to be noble, doing a duty of fostering the children of someone else's children. In fact, they've commented that they couldn't even hear Devaki and Rohini speaking in this way, and Vasudeva at this time. They couldn't even hear it, because they were simply merged into the paternal feelings of affection for Krishna and Balaram. And therefore it's described that they could not speak. Most fortunate King Nanda and Mother Yasoda placed their sons on their laps and began to embrace them to their full satisfaction. Now, you see, Krishna and Balaram at this time, they are quite mature men. They're big guys, strong, powerful Kshatriyas. Yet still, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, they don't see Krishna and Balaram like that. Because their rasa of Vatsalya rasa is so strong that they simply see Krishna and Balaram as their young children, and therefore they, it's mentioned here that they began to embrace them and they took their sons on their laps. So this is the significant aspects of Braja Prema that, as we were hearing yesterday, this is just a little bit of revision. Not exactly revision, but yesterday Maharaj was explaining the Dui Hetu, the main reasons for Krishna's appearing, as described in Adi Lila, chapter 4, verses 15 to 22. So Maharaj was explaining Raga Mag Bhakti, Loke Karite Prachar, to establish this Raga Mag. Raga Mag means the love of pure spontaneous affection rather than obligation. So the subsequent verses after the verse Maharaj explained yesterday, we'll just read and touch on them briefly, because they're very significant verses and they're often not heard. Aishwarya Gyan Shob Jagat Mishrita Aishwarya Still Prem Nahi Mor Prita. Krishna is explaining, all the universes are filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by the sense of majesty does not satisfy me. Kaviraj Goswami is explaining here that if there is a sense of obligation, that because Krishna is the Param Purushottam, he's the Supreme Person, and an awareness of his majesty as the Supreme Great, the Vibhu, and we are the Anu, and there's an element of obligation. We have to serve you because he's God. We have to love you because he's God. So Krishna is explaining here that that sense of majesty weakens love for me. Prem mori prida, that doesn't satisfy me as much. Amar ishar mane apnake hina. If one regards me as a supreme lord and is himself as subordinate, I do not become tare prem bas ami na hoy adhin. I do not become subservient to this love. It cannot control me. Mora putra, mora shaka, mora pran pati, eibav, ye mor kore shuddha bhakti. If one cherishes pure love of devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, or me as his friend, or as his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Apnake boro moni, amar sham ohina. You think yourself more important and me equal or less? Seba hoy ami taha adin. That type of love controls me. So this is called Braja Prem. Like here, we're seeing that so strong was the love, the love of Nanda and Yasoda, so strong that nothing can get in the way. There's nothing can overcome that. No sense of officialdom, no sense of reverence can overcome that. And that type of love is demonstrated in Vrindavan by all the residents of Vrindavan. Here, the Vatsalya Bhav, demonstrated by Nanda and Yasoda. and the Sakyabhav demonstrated by the cowherd boys who wrestle with Krishna, who consider Krishna their friend, not the Supreme Lord. In Vrindavan, the devotees, they're so much in love with Krishna, they forget he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't care. They don't love him because he's the Supreme Lord. They love him because he's so wonderful, because the way he glances, because the way he dances, the way he speaks, because he's just a perfect, he's Krishna. His qualities, his activities, and the way he can reciprocate love. That's Krishna. He's called Akila Rasamrita Murti. That means that there's no entity, there is no one who can reciprocate love with you to the extent that Krishna can. His heart is so magnanimous. There is no other entity that can reciprocate with you as completely, as fully as Krishna can. He's Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the embodiment of all rasa. He's therefore Maharaj quoted the verse that Rashik Shekhar. He is the prince of all relationships. And this is the purpose of the specific incarnation of Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna comes to demonstrate Vrindavan pastimes. That's specifically the feature of Krishna avatar. That only Krishna comes and demonstrates his Braja Prem. And so that's why Krishna Janmashtami is such a significant festival for us. Because this is the crucial, the paramount festival of our Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna comes, okay, he's the Supreme Lord. He comes to Paritranaya Saranam to deliver everybody. And he comes and vanquish the demons. But the main thing he comes to demonstrate Vrindavan, to reveal Vrindavan in this world. So why does he reveal Vrindavan? To attract us back to Vrindavan. He comes to demonstrate, to reveal these pastimes in Vrindavan, to attract us so that we can also, in other words, Krishna wants to reciprocate with us in this way. He's definitely not satisfied with us as a sinful, rejecting dharma, adharma. And not even he's fully satisfied if we become perfectly dharmic and follow all the regulative principles and be godly. That doesn't even satisfy him enough. He wants us to enter into deep, affectionate relationships with him, like those of the residents of Vrindavan. And therefore he comes and shares. Krishna, in the Krishna avatar, Krishna sharing Vrindavan with us, to invite us, to encourage us, to revive.
What time do we finish? Now? 8:45? Shish.
We're just getting, it gets a little, we're building up here. Nanda and Jasoda have met again, now the gopis meet, so shall we hear about that? So as far as the gopis of Vrindavan were concerned, from the very beginning of their lives, they didn't know anything beyond Krishna. So Maharaj also quoted the verse yesterday, which is from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Aradha Bhagavan Braja Kshetanayas, that the most worshipable, Aradha, of all worship, the Aradhaniya, the most worshipable form, is Braja Kshetanayas, the darling of the king of Braj. That's Nanda Kumar, Krishna. He's the most worshipable form of Bhagavan. Aradha Bhagavan, Braja Kshetanayas, Tadama Vrindavanam. This place is Vrindavan, as we've been mentioning, where that love is not mixed with the veneration, but it's pure affection. And then of all types of, even amongst the Brajavasis, of all types of worship, that which is the most pleasing, Ramna Kachit Upashana. Ramna means pleasing. Kachit Upashana, the most pleasing type of worship or seva. Brajabhadu Bhagena Jakalpita is that which is performed by the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd maidens of Vrindavan. The way that they love Krishna, that is particularly the most satisfying and endearing to Krishna. And now Prabhupada is explaining a little bit about this mood of the gopis. The gopis were so attached to Krishna that they could not even tolerate not seeing him momentarily. When their eyelids blinked and impeded their vision, they condemned Brahma, the creator of the body, because he foolishly made eyelids which blinked and checked their seeing Krishna. So this is pretty intense affection. They condemn Lord Brahma. Why you've given us bodies that have to blink and momentarily we can't see Krishna? This is attachment. It's pretty deep attachment to Krishna. Because the gopis had been separated from Krishna for so many years, the gopis, having come along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, felt intense ecstasy upon seeing Krishna. We can only imagine. Yeah, Prabhupada says, no one can even imagine. Prabhupada, next line. No one can even imagine. I said we can imagine, but Prabhupada says we can't imagine. No one can even imagine how eager the gopis were to see Krishna again and again. We can only hear about it. As soon as Krishna became visible to them, they took him inside their hearts, through their eyes, and embraced him to their full satisfaction. Even though they were embracing Krishna only mentally, they became so ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy that for the time being they completely forgot themselves. The ecstatic trance they achieved simply by mentally embracing Krishna is impossible to achieve even for great yogis constantly engaged in meditation on the Super Soul, personality of Godhead. So this is the rasa tattva. Why is it greater? It's impossible to achieve because Krishna is responding more to that affection and that mood of the devotee than he's responding to the intense meditation of the yogi. Krishna is attracted more. So the union is deeper because Krishna is coming. The devotee is coming to Krishna and Krishna is coming to the devotee. Krishna is attracted to that. As is described in Bhagavatam 9 canto, Sadaval Ridayam Mayam. The devotees are in my heart, Sadunam Ridayam Taham. And I am in the heart of the devotees. Sadunam Ridayam Mayam, Sadunam Ridayam Taham. They are in my heart and I am in their heart. Mad Anyat Tena Janati. Besides me, they do not know anything. Naham Tebyo Manag Api. And I do not know anything beyond them. So Krishna reciprocates. He gives himself. As much as the devotees are giving themselves to Krishna, Krishna is reciprocating that love. And that is why this is the Same Jukta Uttama Mataha. Madgatena Antara Atmana Sradavan Bhajate Yomam. Those who are worshipping me in devotional love. Same Jukta. Because Krishna is attracted to that. And Krishna opens up his heart to come closer and reciprocate with that love. And the most Krishna reciprocates, the most he's attracted to is the love of the gopis. Krishna could understand that the gopis were wrapped in ecstatic ecstasy by embracing him in their minds. Therefore, since he is present in everyone's heart, he reciprocated the embracing from within. So, Prabhupada's commenting that because of their separation from Krishna, he might have asked them to return with him to the capital city of Dwarka, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, were not interested in the idea of going with Krishna to Dwarka. They wanted to remain busy in Vrindavan and thus feel the presence of Krishna in every step of their lives. Hey Radhe, Braja Devike, Chalalite, Hey Nanda Shuno Kudai. Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, Nanda Sutta, Nanda Kumar? Hey Nanda Shuto Kudai, Goshanta Vidisarvato Vrajapure Kudai Mahavivalo. In this way, the Goswamis are wandering all over Vrindavan in this mood. This is the mood of the Goswamis. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo Shijiva Gopalago. They immediately invited Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. This transcendental emotional existence of the gopis is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya's teaching. And Rath Yatra festival observed by Lord Chaitanya is the emotional process of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani refused to go with Krishna to Dwarka to enjoy his company in the atmosphere of the royal opulence. She wanted to enjoy his company in the original Vrindavan atmosphere. Lord Krishna, being profoundly attached to the gopis, never goes away from Vrindavan, and the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan remain fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 82nd chapter of Krishna. Lord Krishna and Balaram meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Krishna Janmastami ki, Gaura Premanandi. Ragatmika Mataji is organizing today. Ragatmika Mataji, the representative of Ramadevi, is going to be standing at the door after class on your way out. Today, the special seva opportunity is there of decoration of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa-san for Janmastami festival. Right here in the temple room. So, in this room. At 10 o'clock. So, all of that we're hearing today about eagerness. So, but that eagerness is what attracts Krishna. So those who are eager to serve Prabhupada in this way by decorating the Vyasa-san, you kindly report to Ragatmika Mataji. Ramadevi is standing here. Well, you just report at 10 o'clock. You just told me about it. That's it. No. You come here at 10 o'clock. You can decorate Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. Sure, Prabhupada ki. Samaveda bhakta vrinda ki. Jai shishinidai go bhimanandi. Go.